I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Revelation and the chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, we'll commence reading at verse 1. Could I indeed encourage you to go out and seek for the Lord's Day, next Lord's Day, in the will of God, to seek someone and bring them in the gospel evening service, that we might reach precious souls for Christ. And may the Lord write His word tonight upon our hearts. Thank you very much indeed, brother, for that testimony. And we know that God will use it for the honor and the glory of His name. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 1 to verse 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this evening. We thank Thee for the testimony of our brother. We thank Thee, O God, for the singing of the songs of Zion. Bless Thy word now as we open it together. Pour out of Thy Spirit upon us and speak to our hearts. O God, bring the solemnity of eternity upon the gathering. Let not one leave without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Over these past Lord's Day evenings, we have been considering the things that the Word of God says are not in heaven. It says, and I John, Revelation 21:2, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. It said in verse 1, there shall be no more sea. We studied that and what the meaning of that is. There shall be no more sea. Verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. And then there's neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And in that 21st chapter, we have five things that are excluded from heaven. If we were to take those out of this world in which we live, what a different world it would be. See, speaks to us of separation. And also it says there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. All of these things in this world of ours that brings anxiety to our hearts. And then the last Lord's Day evening, we looked at verse 3 of chapter 22. It says, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and a servant shall serve him. And the awful curse because of sin. And we have studied that. There shall be no more curse. For thank God Christ was made curse for us, dying in our guilty room instead. And then it says here in verse number 5, the seventh and final thing. It says, and there shall be no night there. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. In the chapter 21, verse 23, it says, the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. There's no need of a candle. That means there's no need of artificial light. There's no need of the sun or of the moon. That means there's no need of astronomical light. Our light, Why? Because the Lord God giveth them light. The Lord God giveth them light. Indeed, it says the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Thank God there's no power failures in heaven. You'll never sit in the darkness and wait for the company to come to fix the light. For praise God, there is no night there. But I want us just for a few moments this evening, realizing time has quickly gone. But I want us to think about that thought, no night there. And friend, we can only touch a little on it because there's many references to the night in Scripture. We can only give you references tonight and just touch on them. References concerning the night. What does it speak to us of? And yet God says, no night there. No night there. The first thing I want you to think about is the night of disappointment. Turn with me to the book of John's Gospel and the chapter 21. And in John's Gospel, chapter 21, you remember the Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified. The Lord Jesus Christ has left his disciples. And Peter says to the rest of them, he says, I go a-fishing. And they turned to him and he said, will we also go with thee? Look at verse 3, John 21. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Turn back with me to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 5. And this was at the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Luke's Gospel chapter 5, it tells me there, if you go to verse number 3, that Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and saying unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. A friend that I want us to see here, the night of disappointment. You just remember who Peter was, Simon Peter. He was an experienced fisherman. When the Lord Jesus Christ first met him, he was there with the nets because he was a fisherman. He was a man that knew exactly where to catch the fish. And yet, when the Lord Jesus met with Peter that first time, Peter had been disappointed because he had fished all night and he had caught nothing. It was a waste of time. And friend, he's disappointed. The Lord Jesus said to him, he says, I want you to take me out from the shore. There were so many people crowded round the master. And Peter launched out into the water. Those of us who are going in the will of God to the Sea of Galilee, we'll be there. We'll sit on that very same lake in a little boat just as Jesus did. And the Lord Jesus, he asked Peter to go a little further from the land and then he preached unto the people. And then he said, after he finished the preaching, he said, launch out into the deep. And Peter said, Master, he said, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing, disappointed. At the end of all the labor. You know, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep and let down the nets. If you look there in verse number 5 of Luke chapter 5, it says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Jesus didn't say let down the net. He said let down the nets. Because Jesus was going to work a miracle. They weren't going to fish any longer without the fish. The Lord Jesus was going to fill the nets. You look at verse number 6, it says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Listen, and the net break. Why? Because Jesus didn't say, let down the net. He says, let down the nets. Just have obedience. I want to tell you, the Lord's no disappointment, friend. And when we get to heaven, praise God, disappointment will be over. will never be disappointed again. They had fished all night. That was when the Lord Jesus Christ first met Peter. And then the Lord Jesus said, Peter, from this moment on, he says, I'm going to make you a fisher not of the fish. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Come to John's Gospel, chapter 21. Peter's back at the fishing. He's back at the fishing. Jesus has died. He's disappointed. His master has left him. What can I do? There's no use going on anymore. He felt lonely. He says, I go fishing. I'm going back to the fishing. Go back to the old ways. Go back to the old job. Jesus said, listen, from henceforth, he said, I'll make you a fisher of men. Peter went back to the fishing, friend, but let me tell you, the result was the same as at the very beginning. Because the Bible tells us that when Peter went forth that night and he took the rest of those disciples with them, he entered into a ship, John 21, verse 3. And that night, they caught nothing. Caught nothing. The night of disappointment. Maybe there's somebody in this meeting tonight and you've walked that night. Disappointment. Maybe you've walked the night of disappointment because you felt let down. You've been disappointed with friends. You thought they were there for you, but they weren't. You thought they were there to stand by you, but they weren't. You were thought they were there to help you, but they weren't. You've gone through a lonely night of disappointment. See, where are they? Maybe, friend, you've been laboring for the Master. And maybe you've been seeking to do what the Lord has wanted you to do. And you believe with all your heart you're in the place where God wants you to be. But, friend, listen, you've toiled and you've toiled and you've toiled. And it seems to me you've got nowhere. You've caught nothing. Little fruit for all the labor. And I want to tell you this, my friend. The Lord's not a disappointment. You just wait on the Lord. You let the Lord work it all out. You just let the Lord provide for the need. And I can tell you, Christ will be no disappointment. Keep going, friend. You know why? Because the night cometh when no man can work. The night's coming when you can no longer work. So work while it's day. Work while it's day. There's the night of disappointment. We've got to move quickly. The second thing, turn with me to Psalm 77. It's not this night of disappointment now. In actual fact, it's a black night as well because it's the night of despair. Psalm 77, look at verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. He said, my soul ran in the night. And he said, it ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. And my spirit was overwhelmed. The night of despair. Let me tell you, that's a lonely night. You know, whenever hope and the light of hope is put out, and you go into the valley of despair, friend, that's a lonely place. Remember a few weeks ago, I was talking about there shall be no more pain. And I said to you, if you don't know what it is to be in that valley experience of pain of mind, get down on your knees and you thank God with all your heart. You've never experienced that. You can imagine the despair. He said, listen, he says, my soul ran in the night when others were able to sleep. When others were getting rest. The psalmist said, listen, I couldn't get any rest. Why? Because I was down there in the valley of despair. I was down in the night. Friend, for the psalmist, that was a very dark night. It was a night of fear. It was a night that he dreaded. It was a night of despair when it just seemed as if all lights had gone out. Have you ever been there? You ever walked a lonely path with a friend at night when it just seemed as if that one light after the other went out? And as if the morning would never come. And when others were sleeping, you wet your pillow because you tread the night of despair. I think of a man in the scriptures, he was a great king. He's the first king of Israel. He was Saul. You turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 28. You'll find that a solemn thing had taken place. You see, he was a man privileged. He was a man greatly privileged and blessed of God. And yet, he was a man that would not walk in obedience when God said to him to obey is better than sacrifice. And in 1 Samuel chapter 28, if you go down to verse number 6, or verse number 3, now Samuel was dead. And all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. Verse number 5, and when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid. And his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, listen to this. The Lord answered him not. Turned his back on God. There came a time when God answered him not. God says, I have nothing more to say to you. I said it through my prophet. I said it through Samuel. I had plenty to say, but you wouldn't listen. Friend, do you ever fear of that moment coming in your existence when God has nothing more to say to you? When God gives you up. God gives you up. And God had nothing more to say. It says, listen, he inquired of the Lord. And he said, the Lord answered him not. Verse 7, then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Well, I tell you this, he's in the night of despair, all right. He wants to speak to someone. He speak to anyone, but my friend, he's so far down now, he's willing to talk to the devil. The agents of hell. For God handed him over. Don't ever play a young person and older person. Don't you play around with the times that God has spoken to you, the times that God has dealt with you. And you'll find here in this passage of God's Word that finally he makes his way and he talks there. Yes, he wants somebody to speak to. And this is the point that I want to show you. Verse 8, and Saul disguised himself and he put on other raiment and he went and two men with him and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up, whom I shall name unto thee. Listen, he didn't want to hear what Samuel had to say when Samuel was saying unpopular things. But now listen, he wants to hear the voice of the man of God again. He said to the woman, I want to speak to Samuel. I want to speak to Samuel. Friend, let me tell you this. When God's voice stops speaking to you, and God says in his precious word, my spirit shall not always strive with man, I want to tell you, it'll be just like this night. Saul went out, and the two men with him, and it was night. You think of the despair in Saul's heart. At night. He says he was afraid. You know, night does make people afraid, don't it? I know people that it was nighttime, let me tell you, my friend, and they had to put fire on and they had to get wood for the fire. Listen, they would starve rather than go out because it's night. Or if they had to get a bucket of coal, they would nearly freeze because they wouldn't go out. They're afraid of who would meet them outside. Now, let me tell you, friend, you might scare them instead of them scaring you. But you see, night brings fear. Saul that night was afraid. You see, he realized that the Philistine army was there gathering itself against him, and there was no God to speak. And he tried to speak to God, but God wouldn't answer. What an awful night that is. And God's nothing to say to you. Only judgment. Very quickly, let's go now to another. Let's turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, we read the story of there it is when the Lord Jesus Christ has been taken and arrested. Come with me in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Come with me to verse 27. Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Verse 30, and Jesus saith unto him, that's Peter, verse 29, Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus said unto him, verily or truly I say unto thee, Peter, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Go to verse number 71. And Peter began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom he speaks. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. That's the night of denial. Jesus said, this night, he said, Peter. You know, Peter was greatly privileged having sat in the very presence of Christ. Peter was so self-confident. Oh my, he was so confident, though everybody else should deny him and do all of these things, yet not I. I'll not deny you. The Lord Jesus said, Peter, this night, before the cock crow cried twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Is there someone here tonight? And in your life, just like Peter, there's been the night of defeat, denial. If there's someone who once walked with God, once loved the Lord, once stood for the Lord, said to their brother, said, loved the prayer meetings, loved the Bible, loved all of these things, but friend, they're far from God tonight. And friend, you can sit down with the devil's crowd, and I can tell you, you can laugh with them, and you can drink with them, you can do all of those things with them, and deep in your heart, you know, listen, I'm a child of God. Because there's no divorce with God, friend. And yet you amongst that crowd, friend, just like Peter, you'll deny the Lord. It was a night of defeat for Peter. There was no victory there. It was a night of denial. There was no confessing there. It says in actual fact he went so far, he even denied the Lord, listen, with oaths and curses. That's how far you can go. But thank God he couldn't go out. He didn't get that far, but God could follow him. For God followed after Peter, and God made him a mighty preacher. The day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved by the very same person that denied the Lord. Now he's owning him.
in the power of the Spirit of God. A night of denial. A night of defeat. Now, there's another kind of night that if I turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, we sang the wee hymn tonight. A ruler once came to Jesus by night, and it says this in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. A ruler of the Jews, the same, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Go to verse number 4. How can a man be born? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Go to verse number 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? The night of doubts. Night of doubts. He couldn't understand. And maybe there's somebody in this meeting tonight and you're walking that valley. Doubts. My, the old devil wants to take away your joy. And I'll tell you this, one of the ways the devil will take away your joy of knowing God's salvation is to put doubts in your mind. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I sure of heaven? Am I not sure of heaven? Am I going to hell or am I not going to hell? And Fred, listen, the devil wrecks your mind. You've often heard me say one of the attacks of the devil today, I believe above all others, is the attack on the mind. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are truly blessed, even as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, God's word will deal with your doubts. Take him at his word. He came to Jesus by night. And then if you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 20, or 12 and verse 20, we have the night of death. Because the story there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, is the story of the rich man. And he says, I'll pull down my barns, and he said, I'll build greater, and I'll say to my soul, sold thou as much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, thou fool. God says, this night thy soul, what about that, friend? It'll be required of thee. He didn't want to die. He didn't plan to die. But he did die. And what if God was to say to you tonight, friend, listen, this night, you walk the night of death. Tell me what would it mean to you? I read a wee verse before coming in tonight. It was in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. You know, my mind has just been upon this and been going over many things in my heart and mind. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse number 17, I think it is. And we've got the long passage of God's Word here. But it spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they were crossing the river. And when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord Jesus sent them across the Sea of Galilee, and they were there on their own. And it was a dark night. The little verse, it hasn't come to me here. I just got the wrong passage of God's Word. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, and he said, verse 47, and when the evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking on the sea, and would have passed by. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. And they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Let me tell you, friend, When you're walking the night of death, it's only Christ that can make a difference. Only Christ. Nobody else can turn that night into the morning, for Jesus Christ is the one that can make the difference. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, in verse 17, I've got the verse, and it says, "And entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them." Jesus hadn't come. It's a dark night when the Lord's not there, isn't it? What when you come to the valley of death, friend, and the river of death, and the Lord's not there? I tell you, that'll be a dark journey. You sang it a few moments ago. Out of Christ without a Savior, dark will the voyage be. It was night, but there was no Lord. Jesus had not come unto them. But thank God Jesus did come. Verse 20, it says, "And he saith unto him, it's I." You don't need to be afraid. What did the psalmist say, Psalm 23? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he says, "I'll fear no evil." Why? He says, "Lord, you're with me. You're with me." There's a night of deliverance in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were in prison. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. That night, God delivered them. You know what our brother remembered tonight in his testimony? He remembered the night the Lord delivered him. When the Lord changed it all, when the Lord changed his life, when the Lord turned his life around, when the Lord saved him from his sin, praise God, that was the night of deliverance. And then what he did for Paul and Silas, even in that prison, in the midst of their darkness of that night, praise God, they were able to pray and sing praises, and God gave a glorious deliverance. Job chapter 35:10 says, "Who giveth songs in the night?" Thank God when you're saved, friend. I'll tell you, you might walk on a dark journey, but praise God, he can give songs in the night. Night of deliverance. Can you remember a night when you could see him? Can you remember that night or that moment? Are you saved? Have you a testimony, as our brother had a testimony to say, of the saving grace of God in his life when the Lord changed everything for him? Here's my last thought. We've talked about the night of disappointment and the night of despair and the night of defeat and the night of doubts and the night of death and the night of deliverance. There's the night of damnation. Because, friend, let me tell you, that's where the sinner's story ends. In the night. Turn to John's Gospel. In chapter number 13, John's Gospel 13, says there is the story of Judas Iscariot. It says this: "He then, having received the stop, went out immediately," or "he went immediately out, and it was night." For Judas Iscariot, the dawn never came again. But he went out and hanged himself. The word of God said he went to his own place, means he went to hell. And it was night. Remember Dr. Bob Jones many years ago telling the story of a young lad? He was always afraid of the darkness. And the young lad took seriously ill. And finally the young lad died. Before he died, he said to his daddy, he says, "Daddy, don't let me go down into a dark grave. Please, Daddy, allow the light always to shine upon my coffin. And the father buried his son, and then he put a light shaft. He put a shaft down to where the coffin was. And he put a light on it to shine in the darkness. Listen, friend. You die without Jesus Christ, and I can tell you, I don't care what shaft man puts down. You're going to the darkness. The Word of God says the blackness of darkness forever. The sun will never rise again. The morning light will never come. But you'll go out into the night. But God's children, there's no night there. The Lord God giveth them light. And of that city, the glory of the Lamb is the light thereof. No need of the sun. No need of the moon. No need of the candle. For the Lord God giveth the light. And in God's name, don't die in the darkness. But come to He who is the light of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will write Thy Word upon every heart. Grant that not one in this meeting tonight will die without Christ, but that Thou will give them grace to come to the Savior and to know that peace and that pardon through the blood of the Lamb. When the meeting's over tonight, if you're here without Jesus Christ, I say to you in God's name, don't leave in the darkness of your sin. By faith receive Him who is the light of the world. And praise God unto the righteous, it says, there ariseth light in the darkness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and God's people are praying, wonder if there's someone in this meeting tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not right with God. I need the Lord Jesus as my Savior. You desire God's salvation. You desire to escape the wrath of God and to enjoy the blessings of heaven. You've got to come to Christ, friend. He's the only way. And as her sister plays one little verse of a hymn, and God's people are praying, if your earnest desire is to be saved or backslider to be restored, would you indicate that desire? Would you slip that hand above your head as the invitation's given? Will you come to Christ? Just as I am, that's how you have to come, friend. Without one plea. Oh, don't die without the Lord. Don't live without the Lord. Is there one in the closing second of this meeting? Would you slip that hand toward heaven? Preacher, point me to Christ. Lead me to the Lord. Oh, Lamb of God. Lamb of God, I come. Will you come? Heavenly Father, by Thy Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. Let them not go away without You. And grant, Lord, tonight that men and women, young people, will close in with Christ and know eternal life. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Separate us with thy blessing. Take us to our earthly homes in safety. But, O God, make each one ready for a heavenly home through Christ alone. In Jesus' name. Amen.